Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And boy, we said it wasn't going to be a 14-point blowout either way, and we were almost wrong. But the Packers falling to the Vikings in just a brutal, brutal two-point loss to sit at 2-2 on the season. Really tough loss for the Packers after a really, really difficult first half. But a fun rally to keep things interesting before finally losing 31-29. Perry, how do we even start?
I don't know. That was a roller coaster. I mean, it looked like it was going to be a blowout. First half, Packers are just getting rocked. Then they make multiple pushes to come back in the second half. It ultimately doesn't happen. You can point to a myriad of reasons why. But ultimately, a very frustrating game because it was super winnable for a number of different reasons. And it's a division opponent. It's a common opponent. And it's hard not to feel supremely annoyed because they should be 3-1.
Yeah. And I mean, I think what is so frustrating about this is it was at Lambeau Field, which, you know, when you go play in Minneapolis later on in the season, it's going to be loud and difficult and there's going to be a ton on the line. And they played, you know, they lost by 2 points without Jaire Alexander out there. And if we would have said that pre-show, I think we would have been shocked, right? Like, we knew that Jaire was going to be a needed piece against Justin Jefferson and the rest of this really explosive Vikings offense. And he got his, of course, but a really tough day, or at least a tough beginning for this Packers team that settled and came out in the second half and played really well, but a ton of self-inflicted wounds, a ton of penalties, issues in the kicking game, and just not how you win football games. And unfortunately, the Packers are 2-2 with their two losses coming against likely NFC playoff teams. So it doesn't bode very well when you're looking at later on in the season at some tiebreakers. So thankfully, a lot of this is fixable for the Packers, and it's early in the season. We're only four games in at this point, but certainly a lot that they're going to need to clean up here if they want to be a deep playoff team like we expect them to be.
Yeah, 100%. They cannot go into games and shoot themselves in the foot. And I think the slow start was probably a little bit rust on the quarterback, definitely on some penalties. You definitely don't want to turn the ball over as much as they did. You know, like, you can't cough the ball up four times and expect to win a football game, period. I don't care how many times your defense gets the ball back for you, right? Because it was, what, 4-3 in the turnover battle. So, I don't know, only minus one, really. You also didn't capitalize on the opportunities when you did get the ball back in those turnovers. So just like what you've been seeing a little bit on repeat so far in the first month of the season from the Packers was continuing in this game, which I think is also what's equally frustrating, right? The penalties are still happening. The red zone issues are still happening. The not capitalizing, the kicking issues, those are now like repeated offenses. So as the season rolls along, you start stacking up losses for these reasons, like, it's going to start causing them, I think, more, it's going to start causing them more problems, right? It's going to cause them to have a worse record. And again, as it goes, what we think to be further down the line into the playoffs, it might cost them a really important game.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of these things in a little bit more detail, separating it out. I kind of want to start with the pass rush because I think that that is just a head scratcher. And we knew that they were going to be able to tee off against the Titans. The Vikings offensive line is better than the Titans offensive line, but there still should have been opportunities to get after Sam Darnold. And I just, we talked about it a little bit pre-show in a joking way, but when your two sacks are Quay Walker and Keyshawn Nixon, how creative are you having to get with your blitz packages if those are the two guys that are bringing the pressure, is an inside linebacker and a cornerback? You know, yes, we saw a couple knockdowns and Rashawn Gary got in there a couple times and your D-line is doing okay. But I think we thought that this front seven was just going to be monstrous in Jeff Hafley's defense. And do you think it's a scheme thing? Do you think it's a personnel thing? Do you think it's all the above? Is it who they're playing? Like, where do you put, you know, the issues with this pass rush?
I don't know anymore, because like, they're not winning rushing four. And you would think that with the talent that they have, that they would be, right? Especially with Preston and Rashawn playing at like the height of their skill sets. I think LVN is starting to look better. I really do. Like, you're seeing 90 kind of in there. And now, unfortunately, in this game, you lose Devontae Wyatt. We just saw after the game, he left the locker room in a boot with crutches. So that doesn't really bode well for the guy who's actually been playing the best in terms of pass rush.
Leads the team in sacks.
Right. I want to believe that it's the switch to the new scheme that they're getting used to. Like, that's the optimist in me. That's the hope. And that it's not the talent, because, you know, Kenny's having kind of a slower start to the season, and that feels, you know, unusual for him. And, you know, we know he usually comes on, you know, later on in the season, and maybe again, it's the scheme switch. But the only answer is that they just actually don't have that good of talent on the front. And that's a really bad problem to have, because there's not really much they can do at this point other than like trade for someone. So I hope that it's just an adjustment to switching to the new scheme, and that it's going to happen at some point. But it was really frustrating to watch their, you know, four-man rushes not get anywhere. Sam Darnold was operating from a pretty clean pocket like the entire game. And then when they could get anywhere from your traditional rushes, like, he was able to scramble and pick up some yards, and it didn't really mean anything. And he's not a traditional like rushing quarterback at all. So you should have been able to get home with him. So I don't know. What do you think about it?
I think that it's just really frustrating, because we talk about how creative this Jeff Hafley scheme is supposed to be. And I think the Vikings were a tough test for this defense, just because you're without Jair, you're without Carrington Valentine. So you're already down to kind of your bare bones cornerback group, which doesn't help. And you have to get creative in how you play arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. But dedicating all of that personnel to trying to beef up your secondary, then your pass rush has to be really stout. And sometimes it just feels like the guys are getting in each other's way. Like, I don't know if they're not maintaining their rushing lanes, or if, you know, it's an idea to bring confusion from that front, and then it ends up just not panning out the way that Hafley is drawing it up. But it's tough. And I mean, yeah, you know, they've got some teams coming up that they could probably tee off on again in the next couple weeks, but you shouldn't need those kind of performances to have a stable pass rush, because when you get to, like we said, playoffs, all the teams are really good, and you don't have like these layup offensive lines to go up against. So I think that's just the concern, is giving up your passing lanes. Then you should, the Packers right now are just playing a very volatile game, banking on turnovers from their secondary. When they're not getting those, it is a really tough day at the office.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, again, you said it, I mean, they were kind of having to play in Band-Aid format today without two of their starting guys in the secondary. And you shouldn't have to send a blitz in order to get home on the quarterback. Like, because then, I mean, we talked about this in our pre-show, but when you do that, you are sacrificing an extra man right in the middle of the field or in coverage, and that leaves you vulnerable. And we saw that today, right? We saw wide open Justin Jeffersons and Jordan Addisons, and we saw explosive plays when that happened. And the Packers were super vulnerable in the secondary today. Like, I'm sorry, but I really hope we don't have to see another Keyshawn Nixon on the boundary this season. I know he played his best, and like, there were times where he had like decent coverage and it just wasn't good enough because he was going up against probably the best wide receiver in the league. But today would have been a day where your pass rush should help you out more because your secondary is weaker and they weren't able to do that. And that's concerning a little bit because if they do go down, like last season, if they do lose anybody for any length of time, I have concerns about like whether they're able to adjust for them.
Yeah. So let's talk about these injuries. Obviously, it sounds like Matt LaFleur had said that Jair's injury happened on Thursday during practice and they don't expect it to be long-term. So hopefully that means he's back next week. And it just, you know, was really unfortunate timing to be against a divisional opponent at Lambeau that he couldn't make it for. We'll see. That's TBD. Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen with Carrington Valentine yet either. But then new injuries, of course, you mentioned Devontae Wyatt already. We'll see what happens. I saw somebody on Twitter say the silver lining is that Jonathan Ford gets to come back from IR this week after four games. So you got a body there for depth. But Christian Watson, obviously the big one there as well. Have not heard yet what that looks like, but it's going to be a lot more Dontayvion Wicks, I think, in Watson's absence, because it hopefully we're wrong, but watching it live certainly didn't seem like it was going to be a very quick recovery from that injury. So I guess we can talk about Wicks a little more. I think it goes into the self-inflicted things here and the penalties that we're going to talk about, but some of the players just having really tough days as well and having to bounce back, and it's hard to rally from 28 points, which they almost did, when there's drops and self-inflicted penalties, 8 penalties for 68 yards, all the things that we keep hearing that they're going to clean up. And yes, they're one of the youngest teams in the league, but at some point you can't keep making that excuse.
Yeah.
And it's long past this Packers team to start cleaning up some of these things that are pretty repetitive every single week.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jordan looked a little rusty, to be honest. I don't want to put it like all on the wide receivers. Like there were definitely some low throws.
Lots
there were
of low balls.
Some errant throws, but also like there were plenty of throws that were right in their chest that they dropped. So it's like 50-50 to me on Jordan and the wide receivers. And you got to make a play for your quarterback. If you know that he's hurt, if you know that he's not 100%, which he didn't look 100%, at least in the first half, like he was having a hard time stepping into his throws, make a play for your guy. Wicks especially is clearly having a bit of a harder time at the start of this season, although he caught 2 touchdown passes. So
responded well,
you know, he's trying to get there. But it's more than that, right? It's just like, you know, I think Tucker Kraft is having an amazing start to the season, but you know, you get sloppy trying to make something happen because you're down and you don't get out of bounds and you let the ball get punched out. And it's things like that. And it's fair. You're down, you're trying to win, you know that you can make a comeback, and you're thinking 2 steps ahead when you need to be staying present. But that's just what we've been seeing happen so much. Some of those interceptions, again, they're on Jordan. Like, I don't think he should be throwing into double coverage. And the second one, especially, just like kind of under pressure, chucking it up into the end zone. But one of them was 2 of his players just dropped the ball, right? Mm-hmm. It just went through their hands. So again, it's just the guys not being on the same page when, to your point, at this point where this offense is, like, they should all be on the same page.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it'll get better with time. Obviously, this was his second game of the season. They had 2 games with Malik Willis. So you're talking about a completely different offense and a different quarterback. And now, you know, they talked about it a ton on the broadcast. Jordan Love just didn't look comfortable putting a ton of weight on his left leg. So a lot of his throws were just low, kind of died a little bit shorter than he would have wanted them to. All of those things get better, right? And I think that's what makes this game so frustrating, is the way that the Packers played and the way that they beat themselves for like 55 minutes of this game, it was still within their reach and they lost by a field goal. So yes, those are all promising things. If you're looking for a silver lining, there's a ton from this game, but you can't, I mean, wasn't it like the 2019 Packers we talked about that lost games they should have won or won games they should have lost? And, you know, depending on how the ball bounces, we're talking about a couple games being the difference between a one seed and a seven seed, right? Like the NFC is wide open right now, and it's early, of course, but every game is going to count, especially against a divisional opponent like the Vikings.
And this is like not to take away, like, I think the Vikings are legit. And I think the Vikings defense for sure is legit. Like they played with their hair on fire, and Brian Flores is very good. And he really had them in a tizzy. Now they kept the door open. They both kept the door open, and the Packers are clearly the kind of team who fights till the end. And you have to give them credit for, they were down 28-0 and they almost won this game. So in years past, like this would have been wrap it up. It's done. There's no way. And you know, sitting there that till it's 0-0, like you have no idea what this team is going to be able to do. I mean, you and I sat there for the Saints game last season and they had that incredible fourth quarter comeback. They almost did it today. Did they deserve to win this game necessarily with Jordan throwing three interceptions and, you know, literally wore the Favre jersey and then pulled a Favre a little bit in this game, and another turnover? Maybe not. You want them to play a cleaner game and they should play a cleaner game. But I think the fact that they continue to fight and battle back says a lot, because you never know. You know, maybe Braden Narveson makes those kicks, one of them, and they do, you know, or a ball bounces a different way and they do come back, or they get a different, you know, catch call. You know, there's so many things that happened in this game that they could come back from. So it's the mentality that I appreciate, but the self-inflicted wounds, man, like they can't keep doing it. Cause they could have almost knocked the undefeated Vikings off today and they just couldn't pull it out.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about the difference between a Vikings team that could have dropped to 3-1, the Packers go up to 3-1, and now you're holding the tiebreaker in the lead in the NFC North, and the Bears won today. So they're at 2-2. The Packers are at 2-2. We'll see what happens tonight with the Lions and the Seahawks, but just getting really crowded. And those are the kind of mistakes that, again, we keep saying it's early. There's no panic button. Nobody's panicking. I still believe in this team, but it's tough. These are the kind of games that you expect to win, especially like we said earlier, when you're playing at home. So I think the last couple things that we really need to touch on are, well, probably the only big thing is the kicking game. And that was the difference, unfortunately, today. And, you know, I think it's funny that we talked about this last week, was our confidence in Braden Narveson and how we were feeling. And the pulse check was like, I think it's okay. I think, yeah, he's missed a couple, but it seems like, you know, his misses are, you know, they're right there, and the Packers seem to believe in him. And boy, that he egg on our face after two pretty easy kicks by NFL standards, in a 6-point swing that really was the deciding factor in the game. And I don't know, you know, maybe Daniel Whelan is always the one that has done onside kicks, but I did think it was a little bit interesting that Whelan was out there for the final onside kick try and not Narveson, because typically it's the field goal kicker that's doing kickoffs. So
yeah, I mean, Daniel Whelan is a certified weapon, so maybe they just like trust his leg and they were like, please go do this for us. Because his punt that ended up in that first touchdown, like, was the momentum shift swing. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe they're like, hey, try to go win this for us again. But to your point about the kicker, like, I think it's okay in the first few games to say, okay, you know, it's okay. And like, they were, you know, 45 plus, but you can't be missing 37s. Like, you can't be. And at this point also, like, at home, you can't be missing. You can't be missing. And when you look at this game and you know, now those 6 points, those 3 points, even just one of them, are the difference between winning and losing. That's really, really tough. That's really tough. You are the difference maker. And I don't know. I mean, Matt came out after the game and said, we have full trust in him, et cetera, said all the things. But I do wonder if it changes his decision-making in game at any point, if it's you know, close, it's fourth and one or fourth and two, and you're in field goal range, does he decide to go for it or not? Instead, he's always been aggressive. So I don't know if we'll really know ever, but when you don't have faith in your kicker, that's tough.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that we kind of saw it a little bit later in the game, was just the necessity, right? That it's like, well, it's fourth and eight, but we don't really know that we're going to make a 45 yarder. So we have to go for it. And I think what adds insult to injury in this is like Greg Joseph on Thursday Night Football is 5 for 5 after having like a really tumultuous preseason. Like Andres Carlson is not on a roster. You know, like it's hard. It's, you can't necessarily say that the Packers made the wrong choice given what they saw out of the preseason and training camp. Like all of their kickers were struggling. I don't think that there's like a magic fix. And I think that's what makes it difficult. So as much as, you know, we speculate that the NFL is a tough business and Narvison could be without a job shortly, I don't know, because I don't know who else they bring in. You know, like I don't think that there's like this prolific answer that's out there that is going to save their special teams this season. I think that this is just kind of the ride that they're on. But like you said, I think if we see the Packers inside the 30 at this point from now on, they're going to think really hard about some of those decisions. And the only thing that worries me about Narvison moving forward is, like you said, it's at Lambeau Field and it's September. And yeah, if you're struggling with the winds at Lambeau in September when it was like 71 degrees today, oh boy, like December football is going to eat you alive. So that's something that hopefully he can get figured out. You know, but I think that we'll just see a more aggressive Matt LaFleur, and I'm not sure what that's going to do for their red zone woes either, since the red zone has not historically been very great this season for the Packers offense already.
I feel more confident that like the Packers offense and the red zone and all of that is going to get better over the course of the season. And I definitely like feel better with the ball in Jordan Love's hands on fourth down right now than I do about trotting out Braden Narvison for a 45-yard field goal. So if that's what the Packers feel like doing until, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is either, because like, how do you get the confidence up on your kicker other than making him go out there and do it and making them, right? But then you're kind of at a catch 22, because if he doesn't make them, you're shit out of luck. So
do we think that Daniel Whelan can also kick field goals? It'd be such a weapon. Can he do it all?
That would be crazy if our punter was also our kicker. Hey,
added a new roster spot at this point. You know, whoever the backup holder is, I don't know.
He would have to get a fat pay raise if he started also place kicking.
We joke, but
I'm also like not kidding a little bit.
Somebody call up Rich Bisaccia. They have to just try it. What's the worst that can happen?
But it's getting to be not funny. But at some point, like, do we bring in someone else? Do they bring back Anders Carlson? Because you're right. I mean, if there was this like perfect solution, that kicker would be on a roster and or like, already in the building.
They have Alex Hale still, right? Their international player pathway. But he didn't have a very good training camp either, and he barely got to kick in the preseason. So they see him, right? Like, he's on the roster. He's there every day at practice. So if they thought that he was worth elevating, I'm sure they would be doing that. And I think that's what also makes it challenging, is you're not trying to go into the season with a live kicker competition. Like, you're not trying to rotate who's out there. That operation needs to be smooth and precise. And it's just going to get concerning. And he did really well against the Colts. He had the one miss. He did well against the Titans, had the one miss. Going to LA next week, you know, you're going to be inside. There shouldn't be elements. Maybe he'll have a bounce back game. But again, that only works when you're playing inside and or outside at Lambeau and the weather is perfect. And that's not going to happen from November on.
Oh, the good news is that the Super Bowl will always be inside. So
he's going to go like 20 of 40 on field goals, but make the game winner in Louisiana because it's going to be inside.
Yeah.
You heard it from Perry first. All right.
Sorry, I'm joking through the pain.
Any final thoughts on this one before we wrap it up? Because obviously there's a lot to talk about, but I think what we need to do as decompressed from this one and then look at it again when we talk about the Rams, because this is fresh and we talked about it. There's so much that went wrong, but there was also so much that went right. And I don't want that to necessarily be forgotten in this. Mm. It just always stings when you come back, but it's better than losing 14 plus points. We thought we were in for a blowout the entire first half, and Packers really tried to claw their way back. And like you said at the top of the show, I'm not sure there's a lot of previous Matt LaFleur led teams that do claw their way back the way that this team did.
I mean, again, it's just like you kind of said it already, but it's just like, I'm not panicking by this loss by any means. I think maybe I there'd be some slight panic if they had gotten blown out, you know, 40 to nothing, but they fought their way back. Jordan Love threw for almost 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, you know, like they will come together. They will figure this out. A lot of what this team is doing to lose is based on stupid mistakes, and a well-coached team with talented, smart players, which is what this team is, will sort all of this out. It's really early in the season still, so I have faith. Do I want to see this kind of game in week 12? No, by no means no. But do I hate that it happened to a division opponent? And do I think like we'll look back at this loss and say this might be some kind of deciding factor towards seeding, towards division, you know, winning, standings, et cetera, like later down the line? Potentially, yes, right? Like this win could, you said it, it's very crowded right now, but I think things will sort themselves out. And I'm not concerned by the fact that they lost. It was too much of a roller coaster for my particular liking, especially because this team can play to a higher standard and we should expect them to play to a higher standard. It looked way too sloppy for what this team should be, right? So I want to see better football. I want to see cleaner football moving forward. I didn't like it, but I'm hoping it was a little rust from Jordan, a little rust from not playing together, etc. The Vikings, I guess the Vikings are really good. Like also just like credit where credit is due to the opponent. Like I guess the Vikings are really good.
This is a madman. Like if it wasn't the NFC North, I would love to watch his defense every week. But the fact that it's the NFC North, I'm like, can this stop?
Right. So, you know, I think you said it before, but like they also, you know, they held Justin Jefferson to less than 100 yards. Without Ja, they held Aaron Jones to less than 100 yards on the ground. So there were good things. It was just a really roller coaster of a game and hard to, I think if you look at the final score, this is what I guess I'll say in my final, you look at the final score and you're like, okay, the way it started is why this game was so frustrating and so hard to watch. If the touchdowns had happened at different points in the game and they hadn't gotten down 28-7, I think we'd be thinking about this game really differently.
Yeah.
It was just, they dug themselves a hole and then had to claw their way back out of it. And we just don't like watching that kind of football.
Yeah. And I mean, I think where I'll end it is it's about how they respond moving beyond this. And it kind of reminds me of the Lions game from last season. It was, you know, at Lambeau, they lost 34-20. They fell to 2-2. They were coming in at 2-1, fell to 2-2. But then they went on that long skid of losses, right? Like Raiders game, Broncos game, should have won those games, didn't win them. I don't think this is going to happen to the Packers by any means. But we need to see the bounce back and see how they respond from this. And look what happened when they played the Lions the second time in that season, right? You know, it was the Thanksgiving Day game that everyone remembers. So I do think that the next time these two teams face off, we're going to be in for a close one and the same kind of self-inflicted mistakes aren't going to happen again. Just always is unfortunate, like we said, to drop one to a division opponent, but never fear. The sky is not falling. The Packers are still 2-2, have a traveling game next week against the Rams, who just lost today to the Bears. So that'll be a struggling unit without two of their best wide receivers. And we'll see what happens. Packers looking to bounce back and keep things tight in the NFC. But thank you, as always, for listening to the show. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry underscore Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. Podcast on Spotify. Support the show if you like what we do. Also find it everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. And find us over on YouTube as well. Please like and subscribe to the show if you don't already. We'll be back to talk about week 5 because this season is flying. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.